going to read another part of another account of the Christmas narrative, this time from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. I'm going to read selected verses, so rather than just announce as I skip around, I would ask you to listen to God's Word as I read from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. I will tell you, I'll be beginning at verse 10. Speaking of the Magi. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And then we know the atrocity that Herod committed in what is known as the slaughter of the innocents, when he sent troops to kill all newborn children up to 2 years of age in and around Bethlehem. Now continuing the narrative. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. After Christmas, it's not uncommon to have to do some returning. Sometimes the gifts we get just don't quite fit. They're not exactly what we were looking for. For one reason or another, they need to be returned, and having gift vouchers or receipts certainly helps that process along. However, all of us have returning of another sort to do after Christmas. We all have to return to our non-holiday, non-Christmas lives. Some, it means going back home after visiting family. To others, it means going back to work, back to school, back to our own everyday lives. And we kind of leave Christmas and the celebration of Christmas behind us when we return to wherever it is we're returning. The poet Anne Weems, and you won't have to listen to many more Anne Weems poems, but for me, as I've said, they've been very helpful in a couple of ways. They've been helping me get through this season itself. And I've shared with you that sometimes for people, the Christmas season is a difficult time. I fully own that. For me, it is always a very difficult time. It's difficult in a number of ways, but also to be leading a whole congregation in worship as I even go through what's going on in my own insides. So Anne Weems has been helpful for me in that, but it's also given me some good food for thought, good material around which to think about as I have thought about these sermons. I've planned them out right around even before Thanksgiving time about these this Advent and Christmas series, and this is the last of them. I want to read two poems, a very brief one, and make a transition to another one. This is by the poet Ann Weems from her book Kneeling in Bethlehem, and it's entitled Later. Later, after the angels, after the stable, after the child, they went back, as we always must, back to the world that doesn't understand our talk of angels and stars, and especially not the child. We go back complaining that it doesn't last. They went back singing praises to God. We do have to go back, but we can still sing the Alleluias. That's the end of one poem. We can still sing the Alleluias of the birth of Christ, but will we? And for how long into the new year will we sing those Alleluias? Another poem. I don't usually do two in a row, but what the heck. Peace on Earth by Ann Weems. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. The song came out like one loud hosanna hurled through the earth's darkness, lighting the Bethlehem sky. Sometimes I hear it now, but it means a baby in a manger. It means a time of year, a cozy feeling, a few coins in the Salvation Army bucket. It doesn't mean much, and then it's gone. Lost in the tinsel. Where did the angel's song go? Who hushed the Alleluias? Was it death and war and disease and poverty? Was it darkness and chaos and famine and plague? Who brought violence and took away the sweet plucking of heavenly harps? Who brought despair and took away hope? Who brought barrenness and crushed the flowers? Who stole the music and brought the silence? What Herods lurk within our world seeking to kill our children? Are there still those who listen for the brush of angels' wings and look for stars above some God-forsaken little stable? Are there still those who long to hear an angel's song and to touch a star, to kneel beside some other shepherd in the hope of catching a glimpse of eternity in a baby's smile? Are there still those who sing peace on earth, goodwill to all? If there are, then, O Lord, keep ablaze their flickering candle in the darkness of this world. End of the poem. Where did the angel's song go? Maybe it hasn't vanished altogether yet, but maybe even now it seems diminished. Who hushed the Alleluias? Well, let's take a look at some of the first Christmas. The shepherds returned. Martin Luther, the great 16th century reformer, makes a great deal of this in a sermon that he preaches in a collection of Christmas sermons that I have about the shepherds. They returned. He says they didn't return and go to a monastery. They didn't return and shave their heads in the tonsure. They didn't return and go into a life of full-time Christian ministry in service. Where did they return? Luther says they returned to their sheep, to the fields, to their work, and we might add to their status, which was pretty low in society. Pharisees called shepherding an unworthy profession. Because you were out in the muck and the fields and dealing with sheep, shepherds were continuously ceremonially unclean. They could not enter the temple to worship because they were shepherds. They could not even be a witness in a court of law. That's how low their status was in society. And so all of that, to the status, to the work, to the ceremonially being unclean and not even being able to the temple, to all of that, those shepherds who were in Bethlehem returned. They went back. But though their circumstances were not changed, though their circumstances remained exactly as they were before the heavenly host appeared to them while they were keeping watch over their fields, sheep by night in their fields, whatever the word is, they were changed. They were changed forever. They had seen angels. They had heard angels sing. And they had proclaimed to them directly the good news of great joy that to them a child was born. And the scripture tells us, as we read from the Gospel of Luke, those very words, for they returned, but the gospel writer Luke tells us they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, all that the angels had told them. They had seen for themselves. They had seen God in the flesh, in the form of a baby, in the person of a human child. They had heard God cry. They had seen God for themselves. How could they not be changed? The world would, for them, would never be the same. The same could be said about the Magi. After traveling their long distance and bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, of worshiping and paying homage to the newborn child, they began their long journey back. I'm reminded of what I've sometimes read at this Christmas season from Ruth Stafford Peale, who has written something, a story about Long Walk, Part of Gift. Remember that? Well, you didn't hear it this Christmas, but you'll probably hear it again some other Christmas. That the long walk, the preparation of the gift, is part of the gift. The long journey of the Magi was a part of their giving. It wasn't just the gold fit for a king, or the frankincense to used in worship, or the myrrh that would be part of the embalming spices for one who would die. Costly gifts. And it may very well have been, some commentators have speculated, it may very well have been those gifts that allowed Jesus and Joseph and Mary to survive the flight that they had to take into Egypt and the time that they had to wait there before they could return to their home and to their place. Maybe it was those gifts providentially provided that sustained their very lives. Who knows? But we know that the Magi returned. They went back to what was then Persia, now Iraq. They went back to their lives of privilege, where they had the opportunity of being people who could pursue academic pursuit. They went back to watch the heavens again. But they had followed a star, had seen something remarkable in the heavens that caused them to leave the lives to which they were now returning and to follow that star all the way to Bethlehem and there to behold one who was a king, a priest, and a savior. They returned to the same place. Their lives would never be the same again. However, they did not return to Herod. They found Herod on their way to Bethlehem. They ended up, before they got to Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, and they consulted Herod, and Herod had his own wise men who consulted the scriptures, who consulted the prophecies, and knew that the child who was going to be born, the Messiah, all the prophecies pointed that that child would be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod sent the Magi to Bethlehem under false pretenses, saying, "Go and worship for me," and blah, 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 "and then come back and tell me where he is." But they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. And they left for their own country. They went back, but by another route. They refused to go back into the world of politics, of harshness, of darkness, and cruelty that Herod represents, which so much is the world in which we live and to which we go back. Herod did the unthinkable. He sent soldiers to kill babies because he saw the one who was prophesied and the one whom the Magi sought as a threat to his own political power. That's the world in which they went back. The cruelty of that world, seen in the circumstances of how the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary and the child, had to flee. And it was a very circuitous route by which they were able to go back to Nazareth, their home. They went to Egypt and stayed there and came back, were warned over again, and then they ended up in Nazareth. Like the Magi, Joseph was warned to flee, to run for it. For Herod would come and accomplish what is known in history as the slaughter of the innocents. A tough world, a dark world in which to return, just like much of our world. A world looking for light and peace, as we are, even as we return to where we will return after Christmas. But like the Magi, we have brought our gifts and we have worshipped the newborn child, the newborn king. And like the shepherds, we have heard the good news of great joy proclaimed by angels and written for us in God's Word. And like the Holy Family, we return to the dark, cold world carrying, as they did, though not physically, but in our hearts, carrying in our hearts the one who is the Prince of Peace and the light of the world. And in doing that, we are changed forever. One last poem with which I close. Anne Weems, Holding, it's called. The day is here, and we made it to Bethlehem. The time has come for kneeling, and we've seen the child. There is singing in the stable, and we want desperately to hold on to it, hold on to the star and the angels and the spirit of love. How do we hold on to the Christmas spirit? Why can't every day be Christmas? The world mutters, be realistic. And sometimes we church people mutter too. On our way back from Bethlehem, sometimes we forget what we've been warned about in a dream, to return another way. Once we've seen the child, we're left holding hearts wherein angels dance and stars sing. Once we've been to Bethlehem, every day is Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.